Let's get to our guest. John Taylor joins us, professor of economics at Stanford University and author of the famous Taylor Rule. So lots to talk about, Professor. A simple question first. Can we argue that we've seen peak inflation, but not yet peak Fed hawkishness?
Well, we certainly can, because they're a little bit out of line. We had a big conference here just a while ago, which the title was How the Fed Get So Behind and What to Do About It. So there is a little imbalance and people are thinking about it. We hope inflation comes down, but the Fed is still a little bit too low, so to speak.
Professor, when we look at what's happening in terms of inflation, the narrative a few months ago that it was supply side and therefore perhaps monetary policy was not the right tool to be using, has that really gone by the wayside because inflation could become structural?
I don't think it's gone by the wayside because so far, you know, what is the interest rate in the U.S.? 2 1/3 or something. It's still low compared to any reasonable measure of inflation, even if it was 2% inflation. But the inflation rate is higher. And so there's a sort of normal policy which has worked in the past, would suggest it's still monetary policy. Now, the budget deficit has been big. It's coming down. There's other factors. But I think the key, and this is what we've emphasized, so many of us who've talked about it, is the monetary side. So that's why I keep mentioning that. And it's, of course, there's going to be dispute, as no one likes higher interest rates, especially when they've been low for so long. But that's what I think we're facing.
So the Taylor Rule looks at GDP and also inflation levels to get some advice on what to do with the Fed funds rate. Where do you think the Fed funds rate should be at the moment, given the conditions that we have?
Well, I think it should start moving up. In fact, one of the meetings we had here, some of the members of the FOMC suggested it should be over 3, 3.25. I think it's probably going to have to be higher than that, but let's get to that point and see where it is. And we, you know, we've had some good news, but it's still a high inflation rate. It's 7-8%. And also you think about this globally, it's not just the United States, it's Korea, it's Europe, it's Latin America, it's all over. And that's what's happened in the past. We need to prevent that. There's still time. This is a fairly new phenomenon. This is not something that's been with us for a whole decade, like in the 1970s. So there's still time to do it. It's still relatively painless to get rid of this inflationary buildup. And after all, we'd be better off.
Professor, given that call that you just made, do you think 100 basis points is on the table for September?
Well, they're talking about 75, and I think that's probably what they're going to do. They, you know, any central bank has to be careful of how fast it's moving, and as long as they signal. And I think this is something that gets emphasized, that there's some signaling that they may have to do more. And that's what they've tried to do a little bit, maybe not the chair as much as others, but that would help ease the adjustment because people know, well, if there's not an adjustment, there needs to be somewhat higher interest rates, not as high as many are worried about, but somewhat higher.
What would you say are the risks here of a deep recession, a shallow recession and the like? And, you know, how should the Fed be balancing those risks?
Well, there are risks. I think the risks, as historically we've seen, is the Fed gets behind and that has to catch up. It gets way behind, then it has to raise rates even higher. So that's the risk. Right now, we've had 2 quarters of negative growth, and we may get a little bit more. It's been very mild in the U.S., and there's other things going on, other explanations, but it's 2 quarters, and that's something that people worry about. But on the other hand, the inflation rate hasn't passed through to a lot of things. Gasoline prices are coming down, that's great, but wages are still going up and other things are going up. So they need to address that, I think, for sure, in a gradual way, not overwhelm the economy, not surprise people, do it in a way that's understandable, predictable, and that's what's needed.
Yeah, that sort of brings me to, because some investors would say the Fed should use this opportunity. The U.S. economy has some underlying strength, particularly if you look at the jobs sector at the moment. So what is the underlying strength in the economy? And if you have a recession but no banking crisis like we had in the GFC or no housing crisis, is there scope for quick recovery?
There is. It's a very powerful economy. There's lots of innovations going on. in California, where I am living, and Silicon Valley. It's all over the place. And so I think there is an opportunity. But again, we have to encourage people to do this and not scare them, not frighten them. And it's not just monetary policy, it's fiscal policy and regulatory policy, and tax policy. All those things go together to make a stronger economy. We have to work on all of those.
Okay, so if you were Jay Powell, what would you be doing right now? What would you like the FOMC to be doing?
I think the main thing is I'd be signaling a little more than they have that this is not an equilibrium. There needs to be an adjustment. And if it's done in a gradual way, a predictable way, a clear way, the rate of inflation will not pick up. Wage inflation will not pick up. It'll come down to a nice, healthy level. Remember 2%, that target inflation rate, 2%. We're so far above that. But if they can get back to that by being clear and predictable, and I hope that's what Jay Powell does.
It doesn't sound like you're too downbeat, so I think a lot of investors would take some heart from that. If QE pushed investors into riskier assets, QT, which is really supposed to begin with some vigor next month, will that push them into what areas of let's say less risky assets? Is it quality stocks? Is it treasuries? Is it into cash?
It's a good question. I think that there's really doubts about how much impact QE had. And so the main thing is to be predictable and there's no surprise people. Obviously, it can be a smaller balance sheet. It doesn't have to come down overnight. It can come down gradually. And I think that's part of the system of being predictable, not surprise people so that they know what's going on. The same, just like with interest rates, just like with the balance sheet, the same idea is undo QE in a sensible, gradual way, and I think it'll work better.
And Professor, just a 10-second question. Where do you actually think the terminal rate will be in this cycle?
I think it'll be, you know, this when we're all through this, it's 3%, 4%. So in other words, take an inflation rate target of 2, take a real interest rate of 1, that's what the latest is. I used to think it was 2, let's say it's 1, then 3 is where we're aimed. But we probably have to go above 3 before we get there.
All right, Professor, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Good session. John Taylor, Professor of Economics at Stanford University.